We have been studying the book of Genesis for a while. So, what have we learned from Genesis so far? Especially for those who have attended regularly. And many of us have read Genesis. What is the book of Genesis about? Let's do a mental and quick review. Genesis begins by stating that God created the heavens and the earth. It's a very important concept because nowadays even the public school do not teach that. If we believe that God created this heaven and earth, then that means we are the creature that have to be accountable to God. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talk about God created heaven and earth, and later on, finally, human beings as the ultimate creation. And then the Bible talk about God prepared a perfect place for human beings. His people, the Garden of Eden. This is the whole ideal of God's purpose of creating people, the world, is so that we have communion, fellowship with one another. But sin comes, God sets rule, but people disobey and sin, and human became fallen beings. So in chapter 3, God pronounced judgment as a result to human as a result of sin. But at the same time of the judgment, God also proclaimed hope, his salvation plan. And God declared by an oracle. He pronounced judgment to the serpent and says, your offspring and the woman's offspring will be in fight with one another. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So this is God's plan. God's salvation plans later on involve choosing out of all people a person, Abraham. And through the offspring of Abraham, all nations will be blessed. So this is the carry-on of this oracle. It says, out of this Abraham's offspring, there will be one later on who will bless all nations. So as we have so far studied stories of in Genesis, stories of Abraham, stories of how he sacrificed his son Isaac, and story about Isaac and Rebekah. Last week we talked about the beautiful marriage. So these are interesting stories to listen, but and also maybe some moral values to learn from maybe building strong family. But above all, this is not the most important. This is, as we read this, heard these stories, we have to understand this is part of God's salvation plan. Do not lose sight that this is, through all these human beings, these families, God is trying to carry on preserving his blessed offspring later on to bless all nations. Today's scripture, read by Ashley, to partly explain why God is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. You hear this repeated like a refrain so many times, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you never hear about God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, even though Esau is the firstborn. Today's story partly explained that. Why it is? Because this is how God is using Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to carry on this line of salvation. Why did God choose Jacob? It is because of his sovereignty. God chose Jacob to be the carrier of the blessed seed. But Jacob also proves God's election by desiring and acted faithfully in the role that God chose him to be. I hope you can pay attention to what I said just now. God chose Jacob out of his own sovereign will. But then Jacob also proved that he deserved this role that God chose. Okay, so there's two parts to it. Out of God's sovereign, he chose Jacob. He chose Jacob not because of what Jacob had done, but in his ultimate knowledge, God. And Jacob proved that he is loyal to what God's chosen him to be, the role that he wants to be, as he is compared to Esau. Esau is the firstborn, yet Esau despised his birthright. So why am I talking about this? A family that is 4,000 years ago. What relevance does it have to us? The relevant is because as God's children, you and I are also chosen by God. It is not out of our good work, out of our merit that God chose us. God chose us because out of his grace and mercy he chose us. But are we people who prove, who respond to God's great mercy and election? Just as Jesus said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Jesus told his disciples, it's not because you guys have made any good. It's not because you guys are so smart, educated, and things like that. But Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Yet, how do we respond to how God chose us? Or put it in a more theological term, what is an authentic relationship as children of God? To respond to this God's choosing is what we are talking about today. This don't despise one's birthright. So let us open our Bible and focus on what the Bible is talking about. In verse 19, it begins with this is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. The format of this is the account appears 10 times in Genesis. It is the heading that appears 10 times in Genesis. It's 10 sections, like appears like that. It is, when it says this is the account of so-and-so, it is actually better to translate it as this is the account of the descendants of Isaac, son of Abraham. Because what follows is not about Isaac. What follows in this heading is Isaac's descendants, which is Jacob. For the next 10 chapters, chapter 25 all the way to chapter 35 is mostly about Jacob. It's not Isaac. It's Isaac's descendants. And it's mainly about Jacob's struggles. It's about Jacob's struggles with his brother, Esau. It's about Jacob's struggle with his uncle, Laban. It's also, as some of you may remember, it's about Jacob's struggle with God. Jacob wrestled with an angel. Jacob wrestled, struggled with God. And it's also, this 10 chapters also have a lot of struggles among the family members of Jacob, about his struggle between his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and also the two concubines. And also even among struggles among Jacob's children. You're all familiar with the story of Joseph being sold to Egypt because of the jealousy of his brothers. So the next chapters with this heading of descendants of Isaac is about all about struggles. Verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. This here shows the faithful act of Isaac. In order to carry on the God's plan of using Abraham's seed, offspring, to bless all nations, Isaac must have a son. So if Rebekah does not give birth to the son, she's barren, Isaac have two choices. One choice is follow his father's example, Abraham and Sarah, or his parents' example. Oh, maybe find a human alternative. Just like Sarah said, okay, God doesn't give you a son. Here, there's a concubine, you know. Go get a son, you know. But here, Isaac was maybe learned, become wiser, and just he prayed to God for the barren to help Rebecca to have children. Instead of following his father's example. So he prayed for his son, prayed for Rebecca to have a son. It's very nice, very faithful act, and it was fulfilled. But you know how? It was fulfilled not right away. You know how long? She have been praying and praying for how long? Nobody know? How long? How long Isaac have been praying for his wife to get a child? He started praying at age 40, and he become a father at age 60. So he has been praying for 20 years. No doubt Isaac was faithful, but his prayer requires 20 years to fulfill. How long have you been praying for the salvation of your family members? How many of you have prayed for something that you know that God really is going to give you? So, anyway, let's start 20 years. And then when they finally come, and Rebecca, we pray for something, and then Rebecca feel it. And the son was given. But not one, but two. So Rebecca feel that there are two bodies, two lives in her body. The babies jostled each other. And then Rebecca thinks, why? What does this mean? So she prayed to God, and God gave her an oracle. an answer. Basically, it's talk about two sons will be, what you bear are two sons, and these two sons will be father of two future nations. But these two nations will have unequal strength. These two nations, they will fight for supremacy over one another. And the conclusion is the older will serve the younger. As it turned out, eventually as history, it is two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob, the younger son, become the father of the Israelites. Esau, the father of the Edomites. Throughout history, Israelites and Edomites have been fighting with one another, fighting for the supremacies. For thousands of years, interestingly, until even the time of Jesus' birth. I don't know how many realize that. At Jesus' birth, remember Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi come from the east to Jerusalem and has asked King Herod, who is the king of the Jews? Remember? Who is the king of the Jews? Asking King Herod, who is the king of the Jews? And you know who? You know who King Herod is? King Herod is a descendant of the Edomites. So in other words, he come to ask an Edomite king, who is the king of the Jews? Two king, you know. So it's even in Herod's time, it's a fight. King Herod tried to eliminate this king of the Jews, king descendants of Jacob. Verse 24 to 26. So finally, the two sons was given birth, and the Bible described their two newborns' appearance. The firstborn, Esau, is hairy. Hairy is the hence they give them the name Esau. Esau means hairy. And this kind of implies that Esau is like an animal, you know, acting out of instinct, out of impulse. And then he also have another name. His name is Edom. Edom means red. You know, when you see a person with red, it kind of symbolizes that he's a person of passion. You know, he just act out of his emotion. Oh, when you're angry, your face will turn what? Red, you know. And this is how described Esau. And then, what's the name of the second son? Jacob. Jacob means scratching the heel. When you are behind you, when you are walking in front of me, I'm grasping your heel. So hence the name Jacob. Jacob, so these two names kind of describe this two new person, newborn, their whole life in essence. And then the scripture very quickly turn to the focus on, they don't focus on their children age, very quickly focus on their adult life. So at the adult, in verse 27, Esau become like a strong outdoorsman. He liked to hunt. While Jacob is very civilized, he stay at home, no doubt enjoying cooking. No doubt becomes the favorite of his mother, because he spends so much time at the home. But then verse 28, Isaac, it described the father Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. Isaac, despite the fact that he knows that God predicted the older will serve the young, yet Isaac, because of his taste of food, he wants personally and selfishly wants to bless Esau. Ignored God's oracle. And then it turned out that many of you familiar with the story that Jacob stole the blessing of Isaac, taking advantage of Isaac's blindness. You know, who are you? You know, I'm your oldest son, Esau. Oh, let me feel your hair. You know, and then Jacob was having some sheep's hair. You know, so cheated Esau. But the point is, Isaac was blind at that time. But the Bible was talking about Isaac's blindness is not just physical. It's Isaac's blindness is also spiritual because he's ignoring God's will. Isaac wants to bless his children according to the custom and culture of that time, to bless the elders. But because he also have a private agenda, because he loves Esau's food. Okay? But then the whole story is God is under control. God says the older will serve the younger, and eventually God will prevail. So anyway, last passage in 29 to 34 is one day when Isaac, who is cook, no doubt is very good cook, iron chef, you know, cooked a special meal. And he probably have this calculated, planned, you know. He know that Esau come home hungry after, you know, outdoor hunting, you know, all exhausted. Very hungry. I said, "Oh, but this soup so smells so good. Can you give me some?" No. Jacob said, "No. First, I want you to sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Oh, come on! No, this is, you know, I'll give it to you. No. Swear to me first." Esau said, "You know, look, I'm already dying. What is the birthright going to do with me? I'll give it to you free." But Jacob said, "No, swear to me first." So he said, "Right away, swear." And then he have taken this lentil soup, which is red. And then he says, okay. And notice in the Bible, it describes it here. In the last verse, he says, "Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate, he drank, and then got up and left." You know, it's a very short sentence, four words. He ate, drank, got up, and left. So it kind of symbolizes this Esau is just a man of, just do it. Just do it. Like the Nike, the logo. He just eat, drink, that's how he is. He doesn't think, doesn't look at the future. So, what can we say about the character of Esau? Esau is sensual. He's living for present. He despised his birthright. He's thinking of birthright and blessings can be separated. So he sold his birthright. But eventually when his father is about to die, he wants the blessing as the firstborn without realizing he already sold his birthright. So he was trying to, he thinks that these two can be separated. But how about Jacob? Jacob is very calculative. You can see he is very, very deceitful too. But he looked not just at the present, but to the future. He took advantage of his brother's hunger and stole his birthright. And he also took advantage of his father's blindness and stole the blessing. Finally, that section says, "So Esau despised his birthright." This is a commentary by the author of Genesis. It is not part of the story, but it is a theological explanation, interpretation. So Esau despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. In other words, Esau is not spiritually fit to be the blessed seed of Abraham. Hence, repeated what I said earlier, God chose Jacob to have a covenant relationship with him. No, you are going to be my chosen one, and you have to act accordingly as my chosen one. Just like God chose Israel, and then God gave Israel as the law, so that you can live as the children of God, as people of God. So in the history of the Bible, in the whole entire Bible, it's always the same thing. God chose people to have a relationship with him, and then God give the requirement how you live in this relationship. As the Israelites, God's people, God give them the holy law so that they know how to live according to that relationship. And it's the same. God chose us. Then what is our responsibility? How have do we respond to this love? Here in the example of Jacob, God chose Jacob to have a relationship with him, and Jacob proved his election by accepting his covenant response to long for and desire to be in this relationship. You see, Jacob, even though it's by his immoral means, but he knows that he treasures, he wants to be part of God's blessing. But it begins with God's sovereign good pleasure. Paul, in the New Testament, quoted Jacob and Esau's story. If you want to look at the verse, it is in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Paul commented on this family story. He says, not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. You know why Paul quoted this story? If you look at Romans 9, Paul was explaining to his reader that why God have chosen the Gentiles over the Israelites to receive the blessing. You see, to Paul being a Jew, he is saying, I cannot understand, but this is God's plan. God have chosen ultimately you Gentiles to be the blessed offspring. How? I don't know. But my heart cry out for my own people. I wish my people can also turn back to God. But Paul was saying that God have chosen Gentiles to be true Abraham's seed. And he quoted this verse. And he says, look at the example of Rebekah's children, Esau and Jacob. It is not by their good works. They were wombs. They were infants. They were wombs in the womb. They do not do anything good or bad. But already God have chosen Jacob over Esau. So all you Gentiles, all you Christians, you are called children of God, is ultimately by God's grace, God's mercy. You have done nothing good to deserve that. But being children of God, learn from the lesson of Esau and Jacob. Don't be like Esau, who despised the birthright. If you have this status as a blessed children of God, don't displace what your position call you to be as children of God. Have we despised our birthright? Have we taken our faith for granted? For Esau, he despised his spiritual birthright, giving away a precious gift for an insignificant bowl of soup. He resolved a temporary problem with a solution that had permanent consequence. I don't care for that now. I want what I want now. In the world today, one can give away his good career, future, good future, for a bottle of alcohol, some drug fix, or gambling, which they call it excitement. You know, the casinos always advertise what they're trying to sell as excitement. Never tell you what the cost, consequence of some of this excitement can lead to. Or one may ruin a good marriage for an extra affair. For Christians, Jesus told us to store up treasure in heaven. How many of you take that seriously? Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. Oh, maybe some of us, maybe mentally, it is just the preacher who just wants to encourage you to donate money to the church. How many of you are planning, investing in the future, storing up treasure in heaven? Or the rather, I want to keep my money, which is so I have it on a hand. It's more tangible. Storing up treasure in heaven is so abstract. I care about what I possess now, and I despised the promise of a blessed future. Jesus said, treasure. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How many of us take it seriously? What have we done to this command? We know that one day we have to face the account of God. So we take it, we receive our status as children of God, but we never fully responded to what children of God is supposed to be. We treasure what we have now, and we despised our birthright. Friends, dear brothers and sisters, we have a tremendous spiritual gift from the Lord Jesus, but often we take it for granted and traded it for something trivial. Our spiritual birthright is life forever in the presence of our God in heaven. Don't sell it for a bowl of soup or any sensual pleasure of instant gratification or for social acceptance, but forfeit our glorious future. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we are not just hearing stories of Abraham's, Isaac's family, but through these stories, may this be a warning, may this be a mirror to reflect our standing and our obligation before you. May your will be done. May your Holy Spirit touch and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.